is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Welcome back, everybody. So we are in a series on reversing cognitive decline. Let's put it that way. And I just went over some resources for you to find out more about particularly supplements. It's just very upsetting to me that I hear people who are otherwise intelligent and educated saying that supplements don't do any good, because that's, of course, ridiculous. And also, I want to talk today about some specific areas that you might want to consider in your diet and in your lifestyle and in supplements. And we're going to pick out a few things that I think are very important to avoiding or reducing or even possibly reversing cognitive decline and memory loss, but also would be very important to anyone who is a mother and who is cooking for children, because the very same things that are needed for continued health are needed for good brain development. It's difficult to build cathedrals without bricks, and it is impossible to get optimal brain function without a good diet. So often we've been led to believe that we don't need to look into this, or we have been taught wrong things. And I'm just going to mention here, because I saw it providentially, I hope, talking about preventative maintenance and lifestyle changes. So I'm going to read what the FDA, Food and Drug Administration of the American government, previously had a ban on heart disease claims. Near the peak, I'm reading from a call-out box in Life Extension 2019. Near the peak of the heart attack epidemic, the FDA refused to acknowledge the role of unhealthy diet and vascular disease. Here is a warning the FDA published in 1959, making it illegal to claim a benefit to healthier diets. Quote, "The advisability of making extensive changes in the nature of the dietary fat intake of people in this country has not been demonstrated. It is therefore the opinion of the Food and Drug Administration that any claim, direct or implied, in the labeling of fats or oil or other fatty substances offered to the general public that they will prevent, mitigate, or cure diseases of the heart or arteries is false or misleading and constitutes misbranding within the meaning of the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act." Federal Register, December the 12th, 1959, and reaffirmed by the FDA in the Federal Register, May 18th, 1965. And of course, you may remember the World War II people who were just so completely headlong into reducing all fats, and who knows what kind of damage they did to their hearts and their brains. And we still have many people, even many professionals, who will go down that tack. To their shame, the nutrition industry is still doing that, you know, people who call themselves nutritionists. But the people who are into the controversy and the cutting edge, oh, it's all about keto diet and high-fat diet and blah, blah. Okay. But we know that the kind of fat does matter a whole lot. Okay. So here we go. The JAMA, Journal of the AMA, editorial describing this study by stating, a 2017 study, "Identification and control of cardiovascular disease risk factors are critical components in the prevention of cardiovascular disease," unquote. It is high time. Okay, so why is it that conventional medicine took so many years? What, that's about 60 years to recognize what other people knew, that prevention was good. Well, let's don't rush to judgment, but we do see that a lot of people made a lot of money and a lot of people died unnecessarily. So I think it just is good reason to try to eat and live in a healthy fashion and not ignore those things, but in fact try to find out what is most healthy. But again, we'll have to say, eat food like God made it has stand to reason all these millennia. Okay. So the first thing I want to talk about is reducing your sugar intake. And I don't mean just cane sugar. I mean having a diet that's lower in the glycemic index. And there are several substances that are higher than white sugar. And the synthetic sweeteners are often worse, both in terms of glycemic or in terms of other health risks like aspartame, some people call aspartame, has shown to correlate with short-term memory loss. So don't do that. Rather than eating a synthetic sugar, something out of a lab, you're better off to eat real sugar. But you know what? If you just stop eating it, you can taste your food. Yes, you know, there are some teas that are made so well, it's just wonderful, and you could just taste the tea if it's unsweet. Spoken like a Texan. Why glop it up with teaspoon after teaspoon after teaspoon of any kind of sweetener? And of course, you may know that stevia and there are some other sweeteners that are low on the glycemic index. And you may have remembered that I said that potatoes are higher even than sugar, and also white rice. The lower you can make your diet in the glycemic index, the better. And although the beginning of health food for me was getting whole wheat bread, unfortunately, I have heard that this whole wheat bread makes your index of blood sugar stay up longer. Well, so maybe I need to cut back on my grains in my diet. You know, you've got Furman talking about grain brain. And so, yes, we have depended too much on grains in our diet, both in just modern world, but also particularly when we started out into health food, we thought that was all about having less meat and therefore more grains and whole grains. Well, I think there are some reasons to have whole grains for your digestive and eliminatory health, but an overage is too much. But that whole conversation is just pointless if you're still ingesting gobs of sugar like pops. There is no reason to be having a pop every day, a soda pop, you know, as a treat once a week max, maybe once a month. But you know, after you stop eating those things, they just taste horrible. So I went off sugar when I was in my late 20s, and I felt so much better. So much better. I was a single parent in college, and I was just, I just didn't have any more oomph at all, and I was getting stupid diagnoses like freshman emotional syndrome or whatever. I thought, that's stupid. I'm not under more stress than I have been in the past, and if something doesn't change, I'm just going to have to go home. But there was this lady at church who said, well, I tell you what to do, dearie. You know that big bowl that you use for cake mixes? She says, use that for salad. Don't eat any sugar for 10 days. That's a good test, and see if you don't feel better. I thought, that's the most sensible thing anybody said to me recently. A test, an empirical test. I stopped eating sugar. She said, in 3 or 4 days, you'll wonder what you can eat because you're going to find sugar in everything you've been eating. And I thought, I eat a very healthy diet. But sure enough, there's sugar in everything. There's corn syrup in ketchup, and there is sugar injected in the French fries if you're buying them frozen. So she was right, but when I made it to day 10, boy, there was no turning back. I felt so much better. I did not want the coffee and donuts that the other students were eating. I truly didn't, because I wanted to feel better. And at 6 months mark, people remarked how much better I looked. And at the year mark, people remarked how much better I looked. And so now I have discovered that I was actually allergic to corn syrup. And since corn syrup is put in, and maybe because of the mold in it, I don't know, but corn syrup is put in a commercial honey in the States, and all of the artificial sweeteners are made out of corn syrup. So I was well off not to eat that. And now I can eat some without feeling just terrible. But I know. So the number one first thing to do to extend your life, to extend your brain, or to build a better brain in your children is to reduce that glycemic index. And we have got an epidemic of diabetics And they are told that they can go ahead and eat all that junk and just take medicine that is false, false, false. And it was probably 20 years ago when Dr. Brower, who is a biochemist, was saying on the Rod Parsley show that you can reverse diabetes. But you're not hearing it from the doctors, okay? But, all right, you know that what I'm saying is true. And there are a number of supplements that will help regulate or shield you from sugar. I'm just going to mention cinnamon. It will kind of even it out, but there are a number of other things that, you know, if you're going to go for a party and have sugar, because that's our culture, then you might want to take some supplements or something, and you can research that. Okay, so sugar is the first thing. Sweeteners, glycemic index, and enough good oils is the second thing I want to talk about. We need good oils. And so normally when you buy a pill, you're buying a pill that has EPA and DHA, and it's probably fish oil or krill oil. It might be sesame. It might be borage. Borage is particularly good for mature women. And so what we need actually is the good balance between omega 6 to omega 3. So let me read here a little bit again from Life Extension. The typical Western diet today contains a vast excess of omega 6 fats, largely derived from poultry products and certain vegetable oils. Exactly the thing that my mother was going for, trying to get away from beef and so forth. But we now know that we need some salmon in our diet and we need some other things, okay? So the optimum ratio of omega 6 to omega 3 fats in the diet is roughly 41, though some proponents claim the ratio should be 2 omega 6 for each 1 omega 3. Shockingly, those who follow unhealthy modern Western diets, those who often consume these fats in ratios as high as 25 to 1. Okay, today we can determine the ratio that you have in your body with the finger stick test you can order. But, and if you're very concerned about this, please go in and consult that. But if it's just improvement, just know that even the very healthy fats like cashews and so forth often may have too many omega-6s. But omega-3 supplementation has been shown to beneficially support levels of the specialized molecules. Okay, let me give you that citation so you know that we're not just blowing smoke. Okay, so Wang, Hajorth, Vaden et al. Effects of N3 FA supplementation on the release of pro-resolving lipid mediators by blood mononuclear cells in the OMEGA-AD study in Journal of Lipid Research 2015, pages 674-81. Okay, so one way that, so we're talking about what kind of specialized molecules. So here, this paragraph, one way these omega-3 derived signaling factors afford protection is by increasing white blood cells' appetites for consuming beta-amyloid, the toxic protein found in the brains of those with neurodegenerative diseases, while also reducing inflammation in the brain. Levels of these signaling molecules are reduced in people with Alzheimer's disease and in those with minimal cognitive impairment, which commonly precedes Alzheimer's, in quite a few citations. So the point here is that we've discovered these beta amyloids in the brains of people with cognitive impairment and Alzheimer's disease, but the omega-3 fatty acid provides some protection. And if that's true, we could also say, since your brain is almost entirely estrogen, it's gray fatty matter, you know that the children who are growing up, they need a certain amount of fat also. And the Lord's made us so that if we don't get enough fat, we're hungry. And so we go looking for it. And instead of going and finding who's got a good a deer that's been slain or a bear, we, you know, in a modern diet, we're hungry and we find cookies. Well, they have some fat in it, but that's not the right kind of fat. and it's mixed with sugar. Okay, so also we have been told way too often that things are just genetic, so we have to resign ourselves to it. Cancer is genetic. Learning disabilities are genetic. Well, poppycock. So somebody said, well, genes can be changed. Well, maybe not genes, but there's a great deal epigenetic information that can be changed. Studies of blood cells from Alzheimer's disease patients show that supplementing with DHA and EPA for 6 months causes significant alteration in 9 genes involved in inflammation, neurodegeneration, and resolution of inflammation. This suggests that the beneficial fatty acids are regulating gene expression, which is a powerful epigenetic effect. So when I'm reading this, there are always citations. Okay. And so again, with the diabetes and other markers of health, including C-reactive protein, hemoglobin A1C markers, and waist circumference, all of these things are improved by having the omega-3s, and easiest to add that also by reducing artery clogging, platelet clumping, and dangerous lipid elevations. Also improves osteoporosis, or prevents, because of the eicosanoid pathway, can generate pro-inflammatory molecules created from certain omega-6 fatty acids, leading to inflammatory signals, joint health, and so forth and so on. So be sure that you have enough fat in your diet, good fat, and particularly in order to get the omega-3, you may want to have a supplement. You might want to research this, but certainly no more of this no fat diets, none of that. Okay, yes, you might want to stay away from trans fats, might want to stay away from vegetable oils, which is kind of news, but there are many, many different kinds of oil supplementations. The fish oils are often the most reached for, and in those you want to be sure that they're purified so that you're not getting mercury. You sure don't want to be putting mercury in your body, and so many of these fishes, well, like tuna, for instance, my doctor told me not to eat tuna anymore because it had mercury in it. And let me just say about pollution in general, we used to talk about this, or I used to talk about this back in the 90s in the learning disabilities community, and they would say, no, it's just genetic. Well, this just doesn't make any sense when you look at the data. And the last Learning Disabilities Association conference of Texas that I went to, there was a doctor saying, well, we know that too much lead in the brain causes mental retardation, so yes, we need to look at these heavy metals in the body. Well, by that time, there had already been 10 years of scientific data that pointed to toxicity as a problem in autism, in the autism spectrum disorder, so it was high time they were starting to talk about it. And so let's don't add anything to our load. Okay. Now, adults might want to ask their doctor about chelation therapy. This is something that you will need a professional for, because you don't want to get too low in minerals and you have problems with that. But certainly everybody can work on reducing their toxic load, and understand that modern life has a lot heavier toxic load because we're in a soup of chemicals, most of which have never been safety tested. Okay, so lower sugar, get the right kind of fat, which is the omega-3s, and then a whole lot of things that I'm going to suggest to you. And if you were going to do this in a natural fashion without supplementation, what I would be saying to you is eat more vegetables. Now, I don't know if you can get enough vegetables if you're an adult and you need a therapeutic dose, but this certainly is good advice in general. We need to eat our vegetables, and a wide variety of vegetables, and a lot of vegetables, because what I see in the typical American home is vegetables are used as condiments. No. Vegetables should be the majority of your plate, certainly at least half your plate, and probably 3/4 of your plate should be vegetable. And vegetables are great, particularly if you stop eating all that horrible sugar and over amount of salt, and wrong kind of fat, you're going to be able to taste those vegetables, and oh, how wonderful. All right, so zinc, you need a little bit of it, and sometimes, particularly in poor countries, you don't get enough and you get blindness, but zinc may inhibit esophageal cancer growth. Well, it also helps your eyes. I'm not suggesting going and taking zinc supplement, but be sure that you've got a healthy diet, really great produce coming in, or maybe a multivitamin. In this case, for zinc, some dark squash, pumpkin, or sesame seeds. Okay, PQQ reduces brain aging. So this was one of Life Extension's most favorite article this year. Scientists have uncovered further evidence about the abilities of PQQ, pyroloquinoline, to help support the brain, generating excitement three distinct ways. PQQ reduces brain aging, including improved brain blood flow, reducing neurotoxicity, and protection against sugar damage. A study published in 2017 demonstrates that a formulation containing PQQ reduced evidence of Alzheimer's disease in laboratory animal models. Okay, they're also talking about, oh, you know about blueberries. So you can buy blueberry extract if you can't buy enough blueberries for your cereals, but I think that's a pretty neat thing. I love blueberries. They're also talking about magnesium, and there is a magnesium threonate supplement for older people, but hey, magnesium, you know where you find that? All kinds of vegetables. All kinds of vegetables. So eat your broccoli and eat your cucumbers and on and on and on and on. Lots of good things. Pomegranate, berry, metabolite may help inflammatory bowel disease. Folate intake may need a boost during the summer months, okay? So you know all these people who are crazy for kale. Yes, kale is great. All kinds of leafy greens, very helpful. The kind of lettuce that my mother liked, the iceberg lettuce, because it's not as green, it's mostly water, you might want to go to a more modern kind of lettuce. But anyway, there are so many good things in the market these days, all kinds of neat salads and often cut up for you. Lutein and zeaxanthin boost brain power. Recent studies have shown that lutein and zeaxanthin, well known for protecting the eyes, also boost factors involved in the brain function and cognitive performance. So lutein found in tomatoes and so forth, and zeaxanthin maybe a lot of marigolds. So you don't have to eat the marigolds, but this is something you might want to check out in not only in your diet, but in supplements. The effect of these plant-based nutrients have been shown in young people and older adults, even those with early cognitive impairments. What most people don't realize is there is a connection between the eyes and the brains. So you probably know that lutein, zeaxanthin, and maybe astaxanthin are good for your eyes. Well, your eyes are actually modified brain cells, and so this also improves your brain functioning, overall cognition, verbal learning, and fluency, recall processing, and perceptual speed, memory, and executive function, and even complex attention and cognitive flexibility. So, yes, we want all of those tomatoes as well as all the green things. You know, people talk about the Mediterranean diet. Now, what is that? Well, let's see. Mediterranean diet. They've got tomatoes, olive oil, fish, and red wine, I guess. And maybe some feta cheese and some lamb, too. Nobody talks about that. But anyway. And some fun, some togetherness around the table, and maybe some dancing. Okay, so have your vegetables. That's what I'm saying. It's good for your eyesight. Good for your brain. Okay. There's been lots of research on vitamin C. You know, Linus Pauling was a big proponent of vitamin C, and people thought he was just a nut. And I've even recently heard, oh, you could hurt yourself with too much vitamin C. I think the truth is that it will expel itself if you have too much. More concerned you need to be about having too much sugar, because normally we think we should have vitamin C only in orange juice, and a lot of the orange juice we drink is not orange juice. Squeeze some fresh oranges and know that that was bred for high sweet, but it's probably good. Okay, or even better, eat the orange with the fiber in it. Anyway, rosemary for brain health and eye protection. So I'm reminded of Eric Braverman, who used to talk about the rainbow diet. He said, just use every herb and spice in your cabinet. Well, yes, be sure they're fresh too. Okay, for any good. So rosemary protects your eyes, protects your brain, and reduces, well, helps your blood sugar. And go ahead and put some in your olive oil. Okay, so all kinds of things with your vegetables. That's why we have lots of vegetables. Okay, so magnesium, lutein, vitamin B6 and B12. So for people on vegetarian and vegan diets, they have to be more concerned about their vitamin B. I used to always depend on the whole grains and the meat for my vitamin B's, but if you're not going to have meat, then you need to be very careful, and you might have to supplement on your vitamin B. Is particularly important for brain health, and B12 is just hard to find in vegetables. Okay, CoQ10, mushrooms, also very, very important. Okay, that's all the time I have for today. Please do share. Give me a like on Facebook or on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast. This is important for us, as well as for everybody else, to get the word out. And my outro still says free offer. And today, you don't have to email me. There's something on the internet for you. So if you go to www.greatshalom.org, go to the GSB4G, so that's GSB for Grandparent Generation, and scroll down, you'll see that there are some audio, and well, there should be some audio, and there are some links to Life Extension articles about reducing or wiping out, I should say, colds and viruses by taking supplements and other over-the-counter medicines. And of course, Life Extension will be happy to sell it to you, but you don't have to buy it from them. Thank you to them for the scientific work they do and the real leadership that they have shown over the decades. Okay, so you can get that at www.greatshalom.org. And this is Sharon Sorrells proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all of us. Have a blessed day.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom Broadcast with your host, Sharon Sorrells. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom Broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to thegreatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.